This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May today sets out her plan to leave the EU's single market.
The tobacco industry continues consolidating with news of a $49 billion deal this morning.
Deutsche Bank reportedly may withhold 90% of its 2016 bonuses for bankers and traders.
After almost 3 years, the search has been suspended for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Plus, the wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter has been arrested. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another one-point loss for the Knicks, beaten by Atlanta at the Garden. The finals rematch, Warriors blew out the Cavs. The Islanders, a shutout win in Boston.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by SEI. In the future, the asset management business will be profoundly different. Find out how SEI's global operating platform can help you navigate the new operational frontier at seic.com/imagine.
It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 10 points. Dow E-mini futures down 72. NASDAQ E-mini futures down about 19. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The CAC in Paris down 0.5%. FTSE 100 down 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 18/32. The yield 2.33%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.6% or 82 cents to $53.19 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.7% or $20.50 to $12.16.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.0676, and the yen, 113.06.
Today, UK Prime Minister Theresa May announces her plan to pull out of the European Union's single market. She's scheduled to make remarks at 6:45 a.m. Wall Street time, and we'll bring you her comments live on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Bloomberg's Anna Edwards has a preview from our London bureau.
Newspaper reports over the weekend suggested that she will say she is prepared to leave the EU's single market and customs union to enable the UK government to control migration, leave the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice, and strike its own trade deals. Also newsworthy could be comments on the status of EU citizens currently living in the UK and how much Parliament will be involved in the process. The pound came under pressure in early trading on Monday as currency traders factored in the weekend news flow, suggesting an increasingly hard or clean Brexit. People familiar with the situation have told Bloomberg that the UK government is drawing up plans to try to reassure investors after Prime Minister May speaks. They expect the pound to take another hit. Anna Edwards, Bloomberg News, London.
Thanks, Anna. And the pound has strengthened since yesterday's lows. It's currently trading up 1% at $1.2162.
Trading underway in Europe ahead of the Prime Minister's speech. For some of the stories we're watching in the region, we bring in Bloomberg's Matt Miller live in our Berlin bureau. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Obviously, focus here on the pound as well. And faster than expected UK inflation. That didn't help European stocks. They are down for the second day in a row after a mixed session in Asian markets. Bunds are gaining. Gilts are gaining, sending yields across the continent and in England lower, and gold extending its rally as well as the yen. So a couple of stock stories to focus on. In England, Rolls-Royce Holdings agreed to pay about $807 million to resolve long-running U.S. and U.K. investigations into allegations its representatives bribed foreign officials to win business. Remember, when we talk about Rolls-Royce Holdings, we're talking about the maker of jet engines for airplanes, and not about the car maker that is currently owned by BMW. Also, we see shares in Standard Chartered rising. That's after Bank of America Merrill Lynch upgraded those shares to a buy with a price target of 900 pence. That implies a 24% upside from the close of trading yesterday. Standard Chartered now has 8 buys, 9 holds, and 11 sells. Bob and Karen?
Matt Miller, thank you. Deutsche Bank reportedly may withhold 90% of bonuses. That's according to the New York Post, which says only the top 10% of bankers and traders are expected to receive a bonus for 2016. Deutsche Bank has been exploring alternatives to paying cash bonuses as it seeks to build capital buffers and shore up investor confidence.
Meanwhile, in Asia today, investors showed caution ahead of the World Economic Forum gathering in Davos. Bloomberg's Juliet Sali has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Many Asian markets were weaker Tuesday. However, Chinese stocks stabilized after a five-day losing streak, the benchmark Shanghai Composite adding 0.2%. Stocks in Shenzhen also came back from a seven-month low, while the Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong recovered most of Monday's losses. The Nikkei 225, though, fell 1.5% in Tokyo as the yen strengthened against the dollar for a seventh session during Asian trade. And in Korea, Samsung shares rebounded. That saw the KOSPI close higher by 0.4%. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Juliet. We're getting word of a $49 billion deal in the tobacco industry this morning. With the details, here's Bloomberg's Steve Potisk.
British American Tobacco has reached an agreement to buy full control of Reynolds American with an increased offer of $49.4 billion. The move marks a successful end to almost 3 months of negotiations. The combination is the latest in a wave of consolidation for the tobacco industry, which is struggling with decreased demand for cigarettes. Reynolds is seen as an attractive acquisition for British American Tobacco because it's a leader in the U.S. market for e-cigarettes. Steve Potisk, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Steve. Reynolds American up more than 3% this morning. And this week, we'll bring more earnings reports from the financial industry with Morgan Stanley due to announce results this morning. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the investment bank will likely post stronger per-share earnings, and the fourth quarter numbers may look all the better because they'll be compared to those from a tough fourth quarter in 2015, which included a $150 million restructuring charge. Forecasts are for Morgan Stanley's profit to come in at 65 cents a share on revenue topping $8.4 billion. The company gets 16 buy ratings, 15 hold ratings, and no sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. And S&P E-mini futures are down 9.5 points this morning. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street, an arrest in a Turkish terror attack. The very latest on that and more now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Turkish authorities say the gunman suspected of a New Year's Day attack on an Istanbul nightclub has been arrested. Bloomberg's Benjamin Harvey has more from Istanbul.
After a two-week manhunt, Turkish authorities announced a late-night raid on Monday snared Islamic State terrorist Abdulkadir Masharipov, a 33-year-old Uzbek national in Istanbul. Masharipov spoke four languages, trained in Afghanistan, and entered Turkey illegally a year ago, according to Istanbul's governor. Police found almost $200,000 in cash, weapons, and two drones at the apartment. His capture comes amid an intensification of anti-Turkish propaganda in Islamic State media as Turkish forces fight the group in northern Syria. Benjamin Harvey, Bloomberg Daybreak, Istanbul.
The Istanbul nightclub attack killed 39 people. A federal court hearing is scheduled today in California following the arrest of the widow of Orlando nightclub gunman Omar Mateen. Florida officials say Nur Salman faces charges, including obstruction of justice. The attack killed 49 people, and Mateen was also killed. The search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 has been called off. In a joint statement from the transport ministers in Malaysia, Australia, and China, the decision to suspend the underwater search has not been taken lightly, nor without sadness. Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 went down in the southern Indian Ocean while flying from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing in March of 2014, with 239 people on board. Charter school advocate Betsy DeVos will testify in Washington before a Senate panel as part of confirmation hearings today. DeVos plans to call for expanding school choice programs. The European Parliament today votes for a new president. Bloomberg's Jonathan Stearns has more from Strasbourg, France.
With seven members in the running after the main centrist political groups failed to unite behind a joint candidate for the first time since at least 1989. With no political group in the European Union Assembly having an absolute majority and the possibility existing to introduce compromise candidates in any second or third round, it's a wide open race. But two Italians, Antonio Tajani of the Christian Democrats and Gianni Pittella of the Socialists, stand the best chances because their groups are the two biggest in the 751-seat assembly. Jonathan Stearns, Bloomberg Daybreak, Strasbourg, France.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 5:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC sports updates. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Game number 42 for the Knicks at the start of the second half of their season, and the holiday matinee at the Garden ended like so many of games of the first half.
Down to 10 seconds. Rose right in the middle. Rose drives down the lane, lays it up, and it's blocked. Rebound Carmelo Anthony, though, up, no good. Rebound loose, and the Hawks are going to get it. Dennis Schroeder has it. 1 second left. Dennis gets it ahead. The horn sounds, and the Atlanta Hawks have come into New York and won. The Hawks win. The Hawks win.
Hawks Radio, Atlanta won 108-107. Dennis Schroeder shot 13 of 16, scored 28 points at the go-ahead three-pointer. Carmelo Anthony amidst trade rumors had 30. Once again, no Kristaps Porzingis. Knicks have now dropped 10 of their last 12 games, three of them by 1 point. The finals rematch, no match. All Golden State Warriors had lost four in a row to Cleveland, games 5 through 7 of last year's finals, and then on Christmas. But Golden State won 126-91. Warriors were up by 26 at halftime. Surprising for a franchise that once won 4 straight Stanley Cups, the Islanders had never had a shutout win in Boston until Thomas Greiss made 32 saves, a 4-0 Isles victory. Washington's 9-game win streak ended in Pittsburgh in a wild one. Penguins scored opening minute of overtime and won 8-7. Pittsburgh scored 6 in the second period. Villanova, who won last year's national championship, was ranked number 1 earlier, now back atop the rankings, and Nova took it out on Seton Hall 76-46. Kansas now ranked 2nd. Also won North Carolina's win over Syracuse. Career victory number 800 for Roy Williams, second fastest to reach that. St. John's beat DePaul 78-68, ninth win for the Red Storm, who won only 8 games all of last season. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Appreciate it, John. Soccer officials are working to create a new tournament that would pit the best national teams in the Americas against each other. That's according to people familiar with the matter who say CONCACAF, which oversees the sport in North and Central America, is considering holding a national team competition every 4 years. The move would bring the CONCACAF Gold Cup into line with other major regional competitions and the World Cup, which are played every 4 years. S&P E-mini futures down 10 points right now. That is 0.4%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation informed by best practices across the world to bring strategic insights to your finance team. Learn more at cgma.org/radio. The dollar weakening and gold advancing with bonds after the president-elect said the U.S. currency is already too strong. Stocks are declining as traders brace themselves for British Prime Minister Theresa May, who will set out her plan for leaving the European Union. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 10 points, Dow E-mini futures down 76, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 20. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 18/32, yield 2.32%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.7% or 87 cents to $53.24 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.5% or $18.30 to $12.14.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.0661, the yen, 113.20, the British pound, $1.2136. There's plenty on this week's economic calendar, including readings forecast to show industrial production and housing starts staged a rebound in December. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has a preview of this week's economic calendar.
The industrial production data tracked the output of the nation's factories, mines, and utilities. In November, output declined amid weakness in manufacturing, which accounts for 75% of industrial production. Housing starts also declined in November following an outsized gain in October. Also on this week's economic calendar, the Consumer Price Index, the New York Fed's Empire Manufacturing Index, and the Philly Fed's Business Outlook. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. And Morgan Stanley among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Turkish authorities say they have a fingerprint match and a confession from the suspect in the deadly nightclub attack in Istanbul. Officials say he's an Uzbekistan national who trained in Afghanistan. The New Year's Day attack killed 39 people and has already been claimed by the Islamic State group. The wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter is due in federal court in Oakland, California today to answer to federal charges in connection with the attack. Nur Salman was taken into custody in the San Francisco Bay Area and is facing charges in Florida, including obstruction of justice. Her husband, Omar Mateen, was killed in a shootout with SWAT team members during the June 12th massacre at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando that left 49 people dead. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Hawks. The Wizards, Celtics, and Warriors were all winners. In the NHL, the Islanders shut out the Bruins 4-0. The Capitals lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. As we've been reporting, the UK is likely to pull out of the European Union's single market for goods and services and seek a completely new trading relationship with the bloc. We're told Prime Minister Theresa May has no interest in a partial or associate membership of the EU or, according to an excerpt released by her office, quote, anything that leaves us half in, half out. Let's go to the Spectrum Enterprise phone line now. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. On the line from London is Alexander Dryden, global market strategist for J.P. Morgan Asset Management. Good morning and welcome. This is a blow, isn't it, to business groups who've been pressing for the closest possible links to Europe?
It certainly seems that this speech by Theresa May, although it hasn't been given yet, is going to take the UK down a harder Brexit path, and that is a bit of a blow to businesses in the UK that had been lobbying to try and retain access to the single market and the consumers within the European Union. But it seems that the Cabinet and the new Prime Minister has decided that when people voted to leave the EU, they were voting for cutting from the EU entirely, not having this sort of half-in, half-out relationship.
The pound has rallied this morning. It's up about 2/3% at this hour at $1.2123. What does that mean for business?
I think there's a degree of, there's been this sort of a cloud of uncertainty hanging over the currency and the UK economy for the better part of maybe the last 6 to 9 months as people have tried to work out what Brexit actually means. And now that we're actually starting to get some clear and consistent answers, the pound is starting to rally as we get a little bit of a clearer outlook ahead. What I would say to investors is that the idea that we are going to have a quick and swift negotiation with the EU is quite unlikely. If you look at the last few trade deals, for example, when Canada was negotiating with the EU, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership, for example, they took between 8 to 10 years to negotiate. Right now, investors are poised to expect to have negotiations concluded in 2 years, as Article 50 states. Article 50 also does state, however, that it can be extended beyond 2 years if the negotiations get bogged down.
Well, that being said, do we see some stability or more volatility?
I think there's going to be some consistent, as the news and the outlook going ahead becomes clearer for what the UK's relationship with the EU is going to be, this should be a source of stability for the UK and the pound going forward. But it's going to be a very long, drawn-out process, and I think that's the clear message for investors.
The other big story of this week, we will have new management in the White House as of Friday afternoon. We've seen U.S. equities rally in advance of Donald Trump's inauguration. Has that rally gone too far?
I think if you look at it on a price-to-earnings basis, at a 17x price-to-earnings ratio, the S&P 500 looks fairly valued. It's not particularly expensive, but nor is it that cheap either. I think for what I'm looking at from the S&P 500, in order to move it higher, is actual earnings growth coming out of the U.S. Economy. We're seeing a rebound in oil prices. We're forecasting $70 barrel oil by the end of 2017, and that should help lift the headline earnings further. Also, a strong U.S. economy provides a good backdrop for the S&P 500 going into 2017. So broadly, they are the things that we're focusing on, but we don't see much scope for further valuation increases from here. It's all going to be about earnings growth.
In London, Alexander Dryden, global market strategist for J.P. Morgan Asset Management. Thanks very much for your insights. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures currently down 11 points. That is 0.5%. Dow E-minis lower by 80 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 22 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is down 0.33%. The CAC in Paris down 0.67%. And the DAX in Frankfurt is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury prices are up 18 32nds. The yield at 2.3308. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg Radio. And a reminder that UK Prime Minister Theresa May is set to speak at 6:45 a.m. Wall Street time this morning. We will be bringing it to you live right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the FRM certification. Protect your firm's investments and clients in today's volatile market with FRM expertise. The FRM is the world's most widely recognized financial risk designation. Learn more at garp.org/FRM.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. UK Prime Minister Theresa May will lay out her plan for Brexit today. She's expected to say that the UK will pull out of the European Union's single market and seek an entirely new trading relationship with the bloc. This so-called hard Brexit would be a blow to business groups seeking closer links to Europe. May is set to speak at 6:45 a.m. Wall Street time and will bring you live coverage on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
British American Tobacco has reached agreement to buy full control of Reynolds American with a sweetened $49.4 billion offer. BAT increased the cash element of its cash and share bid. The new deal values Reynolds at $59.64 per share, more than the $56.50 proposed in October.
Noble Energy has agreed to buy Clayton Williams for $2.7 billion in cash and stock. The combination will create the second largest acreage position in the southern Delaware Basin of the Permian Shale Formation, one of the few areas in the world where producers managed to make a profit during the downturn. Checking oil prices now, West Texas Intermediate up 1.7% or 88 cents to $53.25 a barrel. Brent up 1.4% or 78 cents to $56.64.
Wall Street enters this holiday-shortened week with plenty to digest in the way of earnings reports. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
Stocks begin the week with NASDAQ at a record and investors wondering when the Dow will break through 20,000. Julian Emanuel is Executive Director of U.S. Equity and Derivative Strategy at UBS Securities.
Going back to earnings, that's a positive message. However, we're all going to remember that the focus on earnings is likely only going to last 4 or 5 days, because next Friday, January the 20th, we're going to start worrying about politics and macro once again.
This week, we will get a number of Fed speakers, along with earnings from banks that include Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and Citigroup. We'll also be getting quarterly updates from Netflix, IBM, and General Electric. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. More automakers are announcing plans to expand operations in the U.S. amid threats from President-elect Donald Trump of higher levies on auto imports. Hyundai and affiliate Kia Motors say they will spend $3.1 billion in the U.S. over the next 5 years. Futures this morning are moving lower. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. A long search for a missing jetliner comes to a frustrating end. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 has been suspended. Transport ministers from Australia, Malaysia, and China made a joint statement at the last search vessel left the underwater search area today in the southern Indian Ocean. The Boeing 777 vanished with 239 people on board on March 8, 2014. The wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter has been arrested in connection with the June 12th attack. Federal agents had questioned Noor Salomon extensively after her husband, Omar Mateen, opened fire at the gay nightclub, killing 49 people. Salomon's attorney says her client was not aware that her husband was about to shoot up the club. Orlando Police Chief John Mina.
There's no doubt in my mind, based on the information that I knew and that I have received from the FBI over the past 7 months, that she knew, that she aided, and that she could have prevented this tragedy.
Mateen was killed by a SWAT team shortly after the nightclub attack. Turkish authorities have captured the gunman suspected of killing 39 people during a New Year's attack on an Istanbul nightclub. The capture was made in Istanbul. President-elect Donald Trump takes the oath of office on Friday. It comes as Trump took a swipe at NATO. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
Trump calls NATO obsolete. This in an interview with Germany's Bild and the Times of London. Also is saying that he thinks lifting sanctions on Russia could be part of a nuclear weapons reduction deal. And he says that UK Brexit will be a success, saying that other countries will follow and that the EU benefits Germany. He also, in a tweet, threatened BMW with import duties over a planned plant in Mexico. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio, San Francisco.
The last astronaut to step on the moon has died. Gene Cernan was the commander of NASA's Apollo 17 mission back in 1972. Cernan reflected on his trip to the moon.
I've been there. I know I've been there. I can take myself back instantaneously to that valley. And yet, as I look at myself, I sometimes wonder, why me?
Gene Cernan was 82. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. 5:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. With each loss, the Knicks' hopes of at least making it back to the postseason grow dimmer. Now 11th place in the East, losers of 10 of their last 12 games. And the stories continue of the Knicks at least looking to trade Carmelo Anthony.
I haven't even thought about that. Like you said, I guess it's people talking about it. I don't know. I mean, I haven't thought about it. Not something that I've thought about so far. I mean, if that's the case, and you know, if that's what's coming from that side, then I guess it's a conversation that we should have. I mean, if they feel that my time in New York is just over, then I guess that's a conversation we should have.
Latest Knicks loss, 108-107 to Atlanta. Anthony scored 30 but missed a go-ahead shot at the end, as did Derrick Rose. Last time Cleveland was at Golden State, the Cavs were winning Game 7 of the Finals. This one was all Warriors, 126-91. Islanders, a 4-0 win in Boston. Thomas Greiss, 32 saves in the Isles. First ever shutout win in Boston. In Pittsburgh, 6 second-period goals for the Penguins. Another in overtime to top Washington, 8-7. That ends the Caps' 9-game win streak. In the Big East, St. John's beat DePaul 78-68. Red Storm made a dozen three-pointers. Mark Ellison sunk 5 of 6. Rough night for Seton Hall, lost at Villanova 76-46. The Wildcats once again ranked number one in the country. Monmouth beat Canisius 76-72. Australian Open going on now. Novak Djokovic up 2 sets on Fernando Verdasco. The Jets re-signed starting guard Brian Winters, who would have been a free agent. Baseball free agent slugger Jose Bautista said to be close to a deal to remain in Toronto. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for your Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Bob. The founder of Norwalk-based Priceline has raised $50 million for a new startup. Jay Walkers expects Upside.com to bring more competition to the online travel booking industry. The website will search for discounts for small business travelers. The financing includes investments from marketing company Red Ventures and investment firm Leucadia National. JPMorgan Chase says it's the first dealer to give clients sophisticated outside analysis of their currency trades, betting they'll like what they see and become repeat customers. The bank is teaming up with London-based startup BestX to inspect J.P. Morgan's algorithms and give confirmation they're functioning as intended. New Jersey lawmakers have approved a list of building projects at the state's colleges and universities that'll use up the $34 million remaining from a bond issue approved 4 years ago. NJ Spotlight says the projects will benefit both 2- and 4-year schools. That's your Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thanks. The International Monetary Fund has released its quarterly update to its world economic outlook. Here with the details is Bloomberg's Remy Innocencio.
The good news is that it's raising its 2017 growth forecast for the U.S., China, and the United Kingdom. But when it comes to the world's biggest economy and an impending Donald Trump White House, caution is still in the air. And a stronger dollar could have negative impacts, of course. In the U.S., that could be a hit to manufacturing. In EM, that could raise borrowing costs for countries with dollar-denominated debts. As for China, the IMF raised this year's growth guidance but kept 2018 unchanged. And as for the UK, the IMF has raised its 2017 forecast to 1.5%, up from 1.1%, and reversing a cutback in October thanks to a better-than-expected second half of 2016. But get this, for 2018, it's revised down its growth forecast to 1.4% from an earlier 1.7%. Remy Innocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
Remy, thank you. And now we check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about American Apparel winding down its business, starting with massive layoffs.
I'm John Tucker for WBBM in Chicago. I'm reporting on the city's $1.2 billion bond sale this week.
I'm Caroline Hepke. On Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London, we're following a speech by Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May as she sets a course out of the European Union.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting that General Motors plans to invest $1 billion in U.S. plants over the next several years.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. A forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures currently down 10 points. That is almost 0.5%. Dow E-minis lower by 76 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 22 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 16/32. The yield at 2.3362%. The 2-year yield at 1.1626. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Chinese President Xi Jinping is speaking at Davos. He's the first Chinese head of state to address the World Economic Forum. He says economic globalization is a double-edged sword, and many problems are not caused by economic globalization. He went on to say no one is a winner in a trade war, and also said the global financial market needs to be more resilient, and inequality in income distribution is worrying. Walmart outlining its goals for American job growth for fiscal 2017, saying its year investments will support 34,000 jobs, and it plans $6.8 billion in capital investments. Stocks are declining as traders brace themselves for British Prime Minister Theresa May to set out her plan for leaving the European Union. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down about 12 points. Dow E-mini futures down 84. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 23. DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. And the 10-year Treasury up 18/32. The yield 2.33%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Turkish authorities have captured the gunman suspected of killing 39 people during a New Year's Day attack on an Istanbul nightclub. The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the nightclub massacre. The capture was made in Istanbul. The suspect is said to be an Uzbekistan national. The search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 has been called off. The jet with 239 people on board went down over the Indian Ocean in March of 2014 while flying from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Hawks. The Wizards, the Celtics, and the Warriors were all winners. In the NHL, the Islanders were shut out by the Bruins 4-0. The Capitals lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Who doesn't like soccer? Well, who doesn't like soccer in Europe? Okay, who doesn't like soccer in Britain? Edward Evans, good morning. Help me out here. I thought everybody likes soccer on that side of the Atlantic. Has something changed?
Something is changing, and it's a big ratings problem. Fewer people are tuning in to what is the country's biggest sport, according to an analysis we've done on data from the UK Broadcasters Audience Research Board. If you look at football matches, average viewership per game at the halfway point of the season is down 11% from a year earlier and down 22% since 2010-2011. Now, this is odd because the competition itself is thriving. Attendance at games is actually up slightly. Teams are raking in more money than ever because of a huge bump in broadcast fees. And this means pain, it seems, most of all for Sky, Europe's pay TV leader. Its average viewership per match is down by 13% from last year and by 25% from 2010. This is not particularly good news for Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox, which is, of course, buying the 60% of Sky it doesn't already own for around about £12 billion. Live sport, from Formula One to rugby, has been a crucial way for Sky to get people to sign up. And none of the explanations executives and league officials have given for this decline really hold up. No, it's not down to the relegation of two popular teams. It's not about fewer marquee games between the six big teams. There are actually two more of those in the period than last year. Something else is going on here, and it's really interesting. It's more to do with the ubiquity of other entertainment options. So things like smartphones, which are Pokemon Go, and the vast library of film and TV series you can get online. Young people, it seems, also are less interested in sports than older people. And this decline can be seen, too, in the US. Of course, the big daddy of live sports, the NFL. And when both footballs are struggling for attention like this, you have to wonder whether the game is up.
Yeah, problem for the real football on this side of the Atlantic, right? I think I'm in trouble for that. Cut J.P. Morgan some slack, huh?
Yes, if you remember, the Indonesian government stopped doing business with the bank after it made a bearish call on its government bonds. But don't leap to conclusions about the bank's recent decision to upgrade its assessment of Indonesia's stock market. The New York-based bank has elevated internal compliance to what might be described as nuisance levels in Asia since a scandal over its hiring practices in China broke 3 years ago. In such an environment, the Indonesian rating change was probably just exactly what the analysts said it was, a tactical shift. And market moves since November bear out the bank's decision to change its rating. If you look at the two forecasts, JP Morgan's equity research team said it was changing its assessment of Indonesian stocks to a sell, predicting emerging market stocks would suffer outflows and 10-year US Treasury yields would rise. Both forecasts, of course, proved correct. But since the new year started, emerging markets have been receiving a little more love from investors. In the first 16 days of January, a couple of billion dollars have flowed into Asian ETFs, excluding China, according to Bloomberg data. So it's easy to see why JP Morgan's equity analysts would have changed their views on Indonesia. Just to settle the issue, let's just consider what JP Morgan was missing out on after it was cut off from bond underwriting for Jakarta. The bank actually participated in only three large foreign currency transactions in the country last year, of which only one involved the government. On the most generous of calculations, JP Morgan would have made about $4 million in fees on that. Not a lot in the world of investment banking. Now, contrast, the SEC has very strict rules on analyst independence, and having paid $264 million to US regulators to settle the China case in November, JP Morgan was hardly likely to risk another controversy so soon. Indonesia, though, has to make up its mind. Either it wants a financial analyst to be independent, or it wants everyone to dance to its tune. And if Jakarta keeps meddling, international banks may decide to pull out of the country on their own accord. As of the end of December, almost 40% of Indonesia's local currency government bonds were owned by non-residents. Guess who has the most to lose if global lenders start to leave?
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Thanks very much. You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing G-A-D-F, go on the Bloomberg.
Well, now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 85 years. More at ADR.org. And today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best discuss a case against Apple accusing the iPhone maker of monopolizing the App Store. They speak with Mark Rifkin, a partner at Wolf Haddonstein, and Harry First, a professor at NYU Law School.
Mark, explain the issue at this stage of the proceedings.
Sure. The question that we appealed was the district court's determination that consumers who bought their apps on the iPhone store, as they were required to do, and paid Apple with their credit card, as they were required to do, whether they were direct purchasers from Apple withstanding under the federal antitrust laws to bring the lawsuit challenging the 30% fee that Apple tacks onto the cost of the apps on the App Store. The district court said that the consumers were indirect purchasers and didn't have standing, and we disagreed. We asked the Ninth Circuit to correct that decision.
So, Harry, what did the Ninth Circuit say about this issue?
Well, basically, the Ninth Circuit said, go ahead. You have standing to sue. You're a direct purchaser from Apple through the App Store.
Do you believe they have standing?
That seems to me to be the right decision. I think it's important that consumers have the ability to challenge these restrictions on their freedom to buy the products they want at the price they want. So if the plaintiffs can prevail, they will be able to show that they have been charged more than they should have for the applications they like to buy.
So, Mark, there's been no ruling about the allegations themselves. Tell us about the allegations.
Sure. The basic allegation is that Apple controls the medium of distribution. Technologically, it makes iPhones only compatible with applications that are sold through the App Store, and it requires that developers who want to sell apps through the App Store have to agree to this 30% markup that Apple imposes on all the apps that are sold for a price on the App Store. And the plaintiffs say that's anti-competitive, it's the result of Apple's monopoly, and they're entitled to some portion of that 30% back because Apple would not be able to charge that fee were it not for their monopoly control over the distribution channel.
And that's Mark Rifkin, a partner at Wolf Havenstein, and Harry First, a professor at NYU Law School, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Michael Best. And you can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that is this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
And United Health reporting a fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. That's just crossing the Bloomberg. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P E-mini futures are down 13 points. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
President-elect Trump's plan to renegotiate NAFTA could shift high-tech talent to Canada and Mexico. At issue is the high-skilled TN visa that allows tech workers to migrate to the U.S. Banking regulators will allow an extra month for input on a proposed tougher cybersecurity standards to big banks and their service providers. The rules enhance cyber risk management standards. French beef is back. The U.S. closed its market to EU imports in 1998 after an outbreak of mad cow disease.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.